got up to turn my mic on. I didn't have it in my pocket. Morning, church. Sorry about that. Take your Bibles, turn me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Happy Father's Day. Today is that day where we celebrate our fathers. And when I begin to think about that, I think about just the idea of what it is to be a father. I have this image in my head of my wife on the couch in our living room in Memphis, and she's eating a croissant and she's reading a book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. And I remember thinking how ridiculous that title was. And of course, every now and then she'd tell me, you know, how big the baby was and this and that or whatever from that book. And I thought, that's just crazy stuff. But maybe I should have paid a little more attention. You know, I don't know that you're ever ready for that experience. But when I think about fathers, not only do I think about being prepared for that, being a father is so much more than just making a child. There are so many people in the world that make children that are never fathers. And a father isn't always someone who's biological. And I want you to get that image of what it is to be a father. I told the Wednesday night Bible class recently that in my family, it all lives on one road. Everybody had whipping rights. And that wasn't always a good thing. But I can tell you honestly, I was always dealt with in a fair way. If my uncle had to whip me, and he had to whip his child too, he always whipped his child harder. And I was glad it wasn't my daddy whipping me kind of thing. But in that experience of what it is to be a father, I want you to know, I want to speak a little bit to kids this morning, or children, and maybe give you an image of hopefully a little bit of understanding. The older we get, the more we have things figured out about who and what we are and what it is we want to do. And we wake up every morning and we go through basically the same routine. Whether, you know, when you first get up, if it's you shower or you brush your teeth, we do that. And sometimes we struggle with our children because they are not that way. They are in flux. They are figuring things out for themselves, and you weren't born with a manual. And when we come along and think that we have something figured out about our children and we're trying our best way to communicate and move in a good direction, then you hit teenage years and go an opposite direction of how we were heading in one way. And not only that, when we figure something out that works with you, we have another child. And what worked with you doesn't work with that child. It is a constant difficulty. But when I think about the idea of what it is to be a father, and as a child looking back, I have to say that, you know, my mom had her pithy statements, but my dad always just had a simple word of understanding. And as a child, there was nothing I wanted more than to have my grandfather and my father praise me. I wanted them to be proud of me and who and what I was. And so I tried to find myself to be interested in those things. And then we come into the Bible. And I believe sometimes what the Bible doesn't say is just as important as what the Bible does say. But what it does say for us about parents just in general, in the middle of the Ten Commandments, the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, we have this unique commandment that God gives us. And knowing the intentionality of the Jewish people, how they write in their rhetoric and their different structures. Think if you remember back about poetry, about how they had to write in a certain rhythm like iambic pentameter or a certain structure like a haiku. They are constantly writing in these types of structures. And I find it very interesting that right in the middle, as God gives these laws, he gives this unique law with a promise. Exodus chapter 20 tells us to honor our father and our mother. And the first thing I would say to our children is, please do that. Please honor them. And I'm not talking about just not embarrassing them in public. I'm talking about trying to spend time in your life looking past who you are and trying to see who they are. And I believe you do that. I believe you're going to do that naturally. But pay attention and know that we are not just grown folks that just say the word no. You do ask a lot of questions, and a lot of times that is going to be something from us. But as you get older and we get older, know that that honor will hopefully be extended forth that we have shown you in your life. The next thing is I think about what the Bible teaches us about children. It goes to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And there's two verses in this chapter that teach us something. The first one is, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. This is Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father. Now, I want you to know, children, also, there is a very difficult moment, I believe, that every parent goes through. It is that moment where we realize that you have found someone in the world and their influence is more powerful on you than our influence is currently on you. I believe that you come back. I believe you're like a boomerang. You'll eventually come back. But when that happens, when you go out and we see this other individual that is having this immense, powerful influence over you, it is a very difficult thing. But the thing that I try to tell my oldest child often is, I'm on your side. I'm not here to cause you trouble. I want you to be your best. I want you to be the best you can be. And I'm always going to tell you the truth because I want you to make, you know, human that God wants you to be in this world. And so listen to your parents. I tell kids, I remember as a youth minister, I used to tell them often, they'd come in and they would complain about they were dating this person or that person and their mother just did not like them. And I would always tell them the same thing. Look, your mama's on your team and you probably need to listen if she's seen something that you may need to pay attention to because she wants you to be happy. She's not in this to make you mad. So listen to your parents. And then right after this, in chapter 23, verse 24, it says, the father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. And this is the idea of being righteous. And I don't know about what goes on in the mind of any other human, but I know the idea of my kid doing right is on my mind pretty constantly. And I'm not talking about a deal where I don't trust my children, but I just assume that my child is doing right until someone tells me otherwise. Your parents want nothing more for you than for you to go out in the world and be one of the best people possible, doing what's right in the eyes of God and living a life where people come to us and say things like, you're well-mannered. Not because we want to feel proud about our parenting, because we don't very rarely ever feel proud about our parenting, but because we want you to be that type of a human, be righteous. The last one in here is from Proverbs chapter 3. And this is one of those things where it goes both spiritual and physical, where we're talking about both earthly and heavenly father. And that is, do not despise discipline. I'm not telling you to turn around every time you get discipline and shake someone's hand and say, thank you for that. That was beautiful. But I'm telling you, don't despise it, because if someone is in your life trying to correct you from making a huge failure, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. Proverbs 3 reads this way, in verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. This is an image of if you grew up with the experience of a good father, then that father spent time disciplining you. And I go back to thinking about rules. With my mom, those were never a written down thing. At any moment, a rule could be broken that I didn't even know was a rule. But with Dad, it was simple. He had rules, and we were to obey those simple rules. My father did not ever want you to use the word liar. It was one of those things that was the dirtiest of dirty words for him, liar. I know that's crazy, but I'm telling you, you could not use that word in a sentence. And if you called him a liar, then you better be bracing yourself for a storm. You were to be respectful to all people at all times. These were his rules that he had in that system. And I knew those rules. I knew what they were. It didn't take me very long through discipline to learn what he expected of me and for me to live that life in that way. Now I want to move just for a little while this morning away from children. I just wanted to give you that, I guess, instruction that we understand our own imperfection. There are very few moments where we walk away from any confrontation that we've had with you and go to bed like, yes, we did it. We don't find our spouse in the house and have a party when you go to your room and go to bed. Yet we showed them. Most of the time, it's one of those situations where we feel so inadequate and such a failure to get a message across to you that we have wanted you to see so clearly. But when we move to the instructions, I find it very interesting, the simple do's and do nots that we see for fatherhood in the Bible. And I don't have time to go through a list, and I've chosen three, one positive, if you will, and two negatives. One do and two do nots, if you will. The first one's in Psalm 103. And I find this one to ring more true in my life. But when we come to understand that we are a physical representative of what God is to us, it's that Hebrew metaphor of obedience. You know, be obedient as a wife and husband are to one another, and be obedient as a father is to his son. In Psalm 103, it teaches us something about God and about what God wants from us so that we'll all have the capability in the future to see God for who and what he is. But in Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. This is that instruction that is given to fathers that we can't get away from. And I don't know, again, what it is, the image, what when you see your father, what image comes to mind, whether it be leathery hands or dirty, oily fingernails all the time, or what image it is that comes up into your mind. But this is the image that God definitely wants all of us to make sure, as fathers, we are passing on. Be compassionate. And this is one of those moments where there are moments where all we want to do is to tear our children's up, tear them up. They have gone in a bad direction, and we want to go the wrong way. I've told you before a story about the scaredest I have ever been of my father. I had run away from my mom. I was tired of listening to it and locked myself into the bathroom. And my father acted strangely that day. Instead of coming in and kicking the door down and yelling, he walked up to the door and he whispered, "Ben, I'm going to give you about 5 minutes, and then I'm going to go outside and get my tools. I'm going to take this door off the hinges. And if I have to do that, your life is not going to be good." And I immediately just unlocked the door. I didn't know what was going on, but this was not normal, right? And he told me, he said, "It's not going to be good, but it's going to be better for you if you just go and come out." So I just come on out at that moment. And I felt like as I grew older and I look back on moments like that with my father, it is those moments where he was honest, but yet he had, sympathy and compassion for me in those moments also. I remember getting really angry at my mother and getting in a truck with my father and him telling, I leaned over and I was so mad. And Daddy says, "Son, you need to do better. You need to do better. That's your mother." And I said to him, "Daddy, you have to stay here. You have to do this. I don't have to." And he said to me, "No, son, I choose. I choose to love her, and love is a choice. And once we make that choice, that means in good and bad. And you should, of all people, understand that. You're not always easy to love, son." Thanks. Thanks, Dad. Thanks. But again, as a father, we need to make sure that we are passing on this image of a person who is compassionate. The next two are very, very important points to a father, I believe. The next one is in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, it tells fathers, verse 21. "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." We had a discussion on anger Wednesday night in our Bible class, and we talked about several possible solutions to a moment when it gets heated with another individual. And one person said, "You need to walk away." And I explained in that moment, I cannot do that. I'm not telling you that I can't walk away from my anger. I can't walk away from any unresolved situation. It's just on my mind, and it's got to be solved, and it gets me crazy. And sometimes that leads to some very difficult situations when I'm married to a woman who needs time, needs a moment. Like, I need to walk away, I need to come back to this, and I'm just following around the house. That never works out good, right? And also in this situation where it talks about not embittering your children. So I also confront this in my life with my children. Many times where I'm wanting to be positive, wanting to give good instructions, it ends up being nagging and constantly pushing to a point of anger. And that is exactly what the Bible is teaching us against. Believe that you've been a father that's good enough to be heard. Say what you have to say and walk away. Don't force your children to become discouraged. Never set a pattern for your child that they cannot follow. One of the things I did in my religious studies was studying the conservative side of the church and parenting in children. And a lot of times the parents had set up this image of what it was to be a child of God, and it was a false image. Never sharing personal failure with their children, but always upholding and Bible beating, if you will. That's not necessarily my favorite term. And so when their children grew up, they had a standard set before them they could not obtain. So many times they would leave the church. That is exactly what the Bible is teaching us here. Don't make your children bitter and do not discourage them to this point where you've set some false standard for he or she to live. The next one's in Ephesians chapter 6, following the same line of thought. I struggle with this word, so hang in here with me. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Here for fathers, it goes back to an image of what it is to be God. And we're always given these human traits, and we talk about human traits when we talk about God, you know, and talk about how he has human features, the hand of God, the feet of God, the eyes of God, and that kind of thing. And it's for us to understand. But what God wants us to do is to pass on this image of who he has been for us in our lives. And when God says things like he loves mercy more than sacrifice, this is an image that we need to understand. We need to be passing on to the next generation. We need to be a people that is not always sacrificing, but also a people that are filled with mercy. For fathers, many times we felt to be a good father was to be just the breadwinner, to work, like the Bible says, by the sweat of our brow, to feed our family by this way. And sometimes what that has led to is us spending way too much time away from our family. And this, again, is not the image that God has intended. And some, maybe the opposite is true. You spend all types of time with your children, but you never spend quality time with your children. These things will lead to this exasperate. And this is that idea of causing your children, I looked it up to make sure I get this right, causing your children to be angry or furious. And then it had the adverb intensely. And this is one of those images where we all know it's true. The song Cats in the Cradle, you know, that idea of not being there. Your child has a question, but we don't have time to answer the question. Your kid wants to do something, but you never have time to do it with them. This leads to an image of what it is to be a father that God has never wanted us to pass on. We have a responsibility. We may not have understood that responsibility completely, but I'll be honest, very few lifelong responsibilities have I entered into knowing a lot about it, like being married. I mean, we have an idea or concept about what that means, but literally it's one of those on-the-job training things. And it's the same with children. And what we have to constantly do is be aware of what it is and not to push our children to this place of discouragement. Movie after movie has depicted the father who is always telling his child he's going to do something, but yet he never does it. That is not the image that God wants for us. Two more points, and the lesson will be yours this morning. The weakness and failure that I feel as a father, I hope is a good thing. It's a motivator. It's a drive for me to want to be better. And it is that ultimate fight that every one of us in this room go through, that fight of balance. You know, how do we maintain being a good spouse? How do we maintain being a good father? How do we maintain being a good child of God and work and do all of these things? It is a constant struggle of balance for us, where we need to make sure we're paying attention to what we need to be paying attention to in this, that moment. But then we have a father spiritually that is the complete opposite image of a constant struggle of balance. He is the picture of balance. He gives us this image of justice, which means we get what we deserve, and mercy, which means we get what we don't deserve. That is this image of balance that God is in our lives. Every human I have ever been in contact with and chose to walk or spend any time with has at some point or another let me down. And that doesn't make me sad. It makes me a little bit more, I guess, understanding of my own failures in other people's lives. If I've ever failed you, then my own understanding of that has come through watching other humans fail me. And I don't want to leave that undone. I want to make it right. But then the image of the spiritual father. 1 John chapter 3:1 tells us God loved us. And because of that love, he did something. 1 John chapter 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Understanding in my mind, when it comes to Mother's Day or Father's Day, I'm immediately nervous talking about these things. Because where I believe the majority of people in this room have great experiences with both mother and father or motherhood or fatherhood, there are those people in this room that have not had that experience. They're either personally failing as a father, or the father that they did experience in their life was not what it ought to be. And so for me to get up here and understand that pain that's going on, that pain that is occurring, it's difficult for me. But then when it comes to fathers, it's always that moment where I can admit I'm personally broken and I'm personally a failure, but we serve a God who does things like lavishes love on us. John 3:16, for God so loved, he gave. And it's just the image of what we all want to be, and to know that we have that Father is the ultimate understanding. And the last verse I'll give you about the Father is in Matthew chapter 7. And it is that famous, it leads to that famous golden rule. And I believe this is one of those things where we all need to understand. No matter the emotion in my life, if I can get the golden rule before me, I can be a better human. If it's on the road when someone pulls out and cuts me off going down the road, in that moment thinking to myself, you know, just 3 weeks ago I did the exact same thing. And at that moment all I wanted was mercy from that individual. Like I didn't see them, and they come by and, you know, you wave them like, sorry, sorry. And they think you're yelling at them, and then they do all kinds of ugly stuff like, oh, I'm sorry, I said sorry kind of deal, right? But in that moment, if I can feel what it was like to be the person who had done that, then I won't treat those people in a bad way. And that is all in the context of being a father. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. The image that God has given us is that he wants us to be like he is. The image in Malachi where he challenges his people, he talks about, I bestowed blessings upon you. Instead of giving these blessings out, you've hoarded them up. Where if you simply would have given as you had freely been given, I would have opened the windows of heaven and poured my blessings out upon you. It is an image where God says, yes, I blessed you. I blessed you. I love you. I blessed you. But then you started hoarding all those blessings. You weren't returning this image of who and what I was to you to the rest of the world. But you were depicting this selfish, egotistical person. And because of that, not only will I not open up the windows of heaven to bless you, but I'll cut my blessings off. That's discipline. And for us in that moment, God has simply said, be what it is you see and hear and believe me to be. Be the father who's willing to sacrifice, but be the father who loves mercy. Be the father who is just, but also be the father who is forgiving. Be the father that walks that fine balance to be a good human and hopefully to replicate more good humans in your life. Being a father is absolutely one of the most scary things I have ever experienced in my life. I've done some things in my life that were very dumb and very scary. But as I wrote in that bulletin article this week, the moment the hospital told me I had to take a small human home by myself without my wife, terror set in. I had no clue. I hadn't been reading what to expect when you're expecting, because I wasn't expecting to be taking care of this child all by myself. And when I got in that wheelchair and they literally forced me to take my child home, just terror set in. I wish I could tell you that that was my last scary moment as a father. I wish I could say that it's over since then. It's just been a joyride and all good times. And that conflict, children, has come from both directions, whether it be some sickness or some illness, whether Charlie J., who's my high-temperature kid, goes up to 105 sometimes, and you just sit up wringing your hands all night long. But in all of that, what I know is I'm a better Christian today because God has blessed me with children. Because when I see those kids, I want them to be wonderful. I want them to be awesome kids. I want them to grow up and to have a happiness and a joy and not struggle with maybe some of the struggles and difficulties that I've had. I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about mentally in a world where they're struggling with identity. I want them to be confident that God knew who they were before they ever came into this world. And now that they're here in this world, he wants them to be who and what they are. That helps me walk through my own imperfection, and I hope it does you too. Fathers, thank you. Thank you for who you are. As a small kid, I can remember following both my grandfather and my father in the garden. I wanted to grow up and be like them because I thought they were good men, and I believe today that they are good men. And I hope you are setting that type of example for your children. And also, as Gary said so eloquently this morning, if your father is still living, as I drove to the building this morning, the graveyard was full of vehicles. And everybody was out there standing over a grave. And of course, I knew immediately what that meant this morning. They were all visiting their father. So if your father is alive, please, today, take time. I'm not saying he might not have always been great, but there had to be moments. And in those moments, make sure you say thank you. Church, this morning, if there's something keeping you from God, please do something about it as we stand and sing.